Well, Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to reflect and go through your word, and especially on this day, God, on Father's Day, where fathers are so critical in our families, in our communities, and we have really important roles, God, and I thank you that you are the example. You're the ultimate example, Lord. And I just pray this morning, God, that that I myself would get out of the way and make room for your Holy Spirit to really draw the word out of me and so that everybody here can hear what you want to say. So I pray for clarity, pray for coherence. Lord, but again, we love you. We thank you for this time. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So it is indeed an honor to be here. You know, it's really amazing what happens when you have to prepare for this kind of thing, and how you're getting in there and you're doing the expository and you're pulling from books. And Siri, what do I say on Father's Day? You know, and you finally you get something out there, and then it's like nothing. Like you don't have anything. You know, and I think I heard Dave or someone say that. But then you get to the point where it's like you're going to take a test, and it's like either you know it or you don't, you know? So no more cribbing there on the side waiting to get in and take that test. You either know it or you don't. So either I know it or I don't.
So Father's Day. Mothers, thank you. Thank you to the mothers. For they are the inspiration for Father's Day. I don't know. I didn't know this prior to looking into the ceremonial aspect of Father's Day. But if you'll bear with me, in 1908, upon hearing a Mother's Day sermon, a Spokane, Washington woman named Sonora Smart Dodd, one of six children raised by a widower, was moved enough to try to establish an official equivalent to Mother's Day for fathers. She went to local churches, the YMCA, shopkeepers, and government officials to drum up support for her idea, and she was successful. Washington State celebrated the nation's first statewide Father's Day on June 19th, 1910. So we're 108 years from that. It gathered momentum, and various presidents along the way encouraged it to become a federal holiday. As a side note, many men, however, continued to disdain the day. As one historian writes, they scoffed at the holiday's sentimental attempts to domesticate manliness with flowers and gift-giving, and they derided the proliferation of such holidays as a commercial gimmick to sell more products, often paid for by the father himself. So, yeah. Hallmark, are you listening? So several serious takes on fathers. A small boy was at the zoo with his father. They were looking at the tigers, and his father was telling him how ferocious they were. "Daddy, if the tigers got out and ate you up?" "Yes, son," the father asked, ready to console him. "Which bus would I take home?" Four men are in the hospital waiting room because their wives are having babies. I don't know if you guys might have heard this one. A nurse goes up to the first guy and says, "Congratulations, you're the father of twins." "That's odd," answers the man. "I work for the Minnesota Twins." Wow. A nurse says to the second guy, "Congratulations, you're the father of triplets." "That's weird," answers the second man. "I work for the 3M company." A nurse tells the third man, "Congratulations, you're the father of quadruplets." "That's strange," he answers. "I work for the Four Seasons Hotel." The last man is groaning and banging his head against the wall. "What's wrong?" the others ask. "I work for 7-Up. So, first PowerPoint up there, you guys. This is a letter that was written to a father. If you can pull up that first slide. "Dear Dad, school is great. I'm making lots of friends and studying hard. Simply can't think of anything I need, so just send a card, as I would love to hear from you. Love, your son. I have a fear this is coming for me down the road here. Amen, Sam? Next slide. Son, I know astronomy, economics, and oceanography are enough to keep even an honors student busy. Do not forget that the pursuit of knowledge is a noble task, and you can never study enough. Love, Dad. Good job, Dad. You can tell what was the best year of your father's life because they seemed to freeze that clothing style and ride it out. If I hearken back to my own dad, wait, I think we might have a couple pictures. Can you pull up the next slide? So we used to call these deck chair shirts because he would have, you know, this was in the prime. So next slide. Yep, another deck chair shirt. Is there one more? Oh, yeah. So we used to make fun of him. Yeah, okay, that's good. It's a nice picture of you, Dad. So he would lean heavily on those few shirts, and, you know, deck chair cushion would come to mind. Now, I know Tom Baker's probably going to listen to this, and he's not off the hook. Tom Baker, my father-in-law. I don't have the actual evidence, but Tom, if you're listening to this, we all remember that you liked that yellow work polo so much that you bought 3 or 14 of them. I was just reminding Jenny of that this morning. Of course, I couldn't begin to guess what my own kids would say about me. Maybe something about I like Western shirts or something. Yeah, and belt buckles. Confession to you, this has been a pretty intense week, but a very good week, with various events and things going on that require one to be present in the moment and to look back and reflect on memories of the past. I had a kindergartner graduate kindergarten this year. I had my niece graduate 8th grade, and my middle boy, Noah, graduated 8th grade as well. So we had the requisite lunches, the ceremonies, the dinners, and not to leave out, but we had our 20th wedding anniversary as well this past week. So, 20 years. But just like any time, you're invited to come up here and bring the word. You're forced to dig a little deeper and lean into the Holy Spirit, asking for clarity. My only wish is that it wouldn't have to be a ramp up for this, but more consistency in this connection that I have had with him over this past week. So part of what I'm going to share today is a testimonial of several people that have impacted my life. And it's done with the spirit of what Isaac Newton said years ago. He said, "If I have seen further, it is by standing on the shoulders of giants." And I say this because, you know, that's a true statement, and also the fact that we're in a culture where everything is new under the sun. Unlike what Solomon said, that there's nothing new under the sun. Our culture says everything is new. Traditions are fading. Ground gained is being challenged. But I celebrate legacy, lineage, and sonship. Proverbs 13:22, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. So I'm just the children part of that equation, and my children will be the fruit of what these people have done in my life. That way we'll actually be able to see if it took. So these are some qualities I've seen in several men who have impacted my life as father figures. I don't know when to put their name in here because I don't want to blow it, you know. But the first person embodies in integrity, sacrificial living, and honoring his father. Proverbs 13:11, wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it. Proverbs 28:20, a faithful man will abound with blessings, but whoever hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. We have used in our family our Papa Tom, our dearly beloved Papa Tom, who's my father-in-law, as a testimony to our kids, especially in the area of finance and stewardship, in that he is a good steward of what God has entrusted to him. And he does not jump from opportunity to opportunity for a quick buck. He is what that proverb says. He gathers little by little. He was, in fact, a subject of my business school paper. One of the classes that we took was a class that asked us who inspires us in business. And I immediately went to Tom. And this is in 2000. So I'm barely a couple years in, having married Jenny. And but I had already seen so much. We dated for 5 years and married for three, and I already just seen what he had done. And he was the subject for my paper. Tom Baker had less than a year of college experience, not by choice. Although he wouldn't say he liked studying, but he did. He actually went. I'll get to that in a little bit. He was well respected in the business community of where he was in the greater Cleveland, Ohio, Northeast Ohio area. His influence runs deep and reaches deep into his relationships. Jenny used to tell me that, you know, back in the early days when he was starting his company, or when he was continuing his company that he inherited from his father, he had built up so much equity with other people and other companies and customers and so on that if they heard that Baker was doing it, they wanted in. So it was like, you know, you can tell when a man of in integrity steps into something, he's going to pull other people with him. And that's what Tom had. He also exhibited sacrificial living and honoring his father. Deuteronomy 5:16 says, honor your father and mother and your mother as the Lord God commanded you, that your days may be long, that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And that's from the fifth commandment. Tom wanted to get out of Dodge, out of Northeast Ohio, when he was a young man, having graduated high school. And he wanted to start something new. His dad's business was teetering, from what I understand. And he wanted to get out. So what he did was he ended up coming out to Hancock College up in Santa Maria, started taking classes. And at one point, his father called him home and said, Tom, I need you to help me run this business. And so he actually did. He gave up school. He went back. He was called back. He honored his father. He stepped in and learned the business. With the help of his wife, Lee, they grew the business into a healthy distribution company that employed dozens of people. And I'll tell you that over the years, they have been the ultimate blessing, not only for the people that work for them, but everyone on the outside, us included. One example of the blessing that I think God honored Tom with was his daughter, his only daughter, was found to have a fair amount of talent in the sport of tennis. She was beating everyone in Northeast Ohio, everyone. She couldn't find anyone that she couldn't beat. So in order to challenge her, they realized they had to send her down to Florida, where she attended a tennis academy full time. So she did the Andre Agassi thing. She did the whole Nick Bollettieri type thing down there for years. And it required, you know, resources. It required Lee to go down and be with her. But that, you know, she was allowed to do that. God enabled that through blessing Tom in his business. So he stayed in Ohio and kept the business going. Today, Tom is retired. He's stepped back from the business for the last several years and has deepened his faith. He's always been a believer. In fact, he got Jenny a student Bible, I think, when she was 15, 9. And in it, he wrote in there, he said, read this 15 minutes a day, and it will change your life, right? And so that's been in him. Although when Jenny went back after we
before we got engaged, she went back to Ohio. She got her own faith, established her own faith out there. So today he's retired. He's deepening his faith immensely. He's involved in 3 Bible studies and can often be found watching and listening to sermons on his iPad and maybe a little Fox News. So Tom is one of those from a standpoint of integrity and honoring his father. The next person that has impacted my life, you'll probably figure this out. But what I want to say is it was his inner life. His inner life gave birth to his being a warrior, being fearless, having the fear of God, and getting to the heart. All those things are things that fathers should aspire to. So who is this? He was a returned veteran, and I don't know if I have this completely right, saved by Australian missionaries on the back porch of his future mother and father-in-law. Is that right? He is the amazing Robert Kevin Davenport. And for the warrior and fearless category, this is what I want to say. Prayer in private results in boldness in public. Edwin Lewis Cole. When we find a man meditating on the words of God, my friends, that man is full of boldness and is successful. D.L. Moody. He read the entire New Testament, I think, that first day. And the first day he was saved and committed his life to the Word and to the Lord. And it is written on his heart. Scripture is a close friend of Kevin's. Whatever the situation calls, he can count on it to bring clarity and life. You guys have been around him in so many moments where you've heard him just pull the appropriate scripture in. It is written on his heart. Joshua 1:9, I've commanded you, haven't I? Be strong and courageous. Don't be fearful or discouraged, because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. As in terms of the fear of God and not man, the remarkable thing about God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. Oswald Chambers. It is only the fear of God that can deliver us from the fear of man. John Witherspoon. There is a lot of scripture. As I uncovered and took a deep dive, there's a ton of scripture on the fear of God versus man. 19 Galatians, Galatians 1, verse 10. Am I saying this now to win the approval of people or God? Am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be Christ's servant. Psalm 56, 10, verse 11. I praise God for what he has promised. Yes, I praise the Lord for what he has promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? Kevin has always, in his counsel, talked about dealing with God. It's all about dealing with God, because God sees it all. And nothing can be hidden from him. So if we deal with him first, the rest will sort itself out. I can say without a doubt, as testimony to this principle, our pastor, when we went through the process of purchasing this building, sought the Lord from day one. He did not fear the realtor and the prospective buyer coming through his office, talking about how they're going to change the furniture around. And the famous line that stands out to me is, to the person who was selling, you've got 2 offers. You can go with these guys, or you can go with God. But Kevin, that has taught me a lot to frame everything in terms of dealing with God and to not blame shift. In terms of the heart, and this is probably the biggest thing here, Matthew Henry wrote, unless the heart be transformed, the life will never be thoroughly reformed. God's desire for our hearts. When scripture refers to the heart, it refers to the inner being. It is man's control center, the center of worship, motivation, desire, and the will. God's concern for the heart is no secret. 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said to Samuel, God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Proverbs 4:23. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it overflows the springs of life. Especially as a father dealing with my kids, I've really tried to embrace this notion of heart transformation versus behavior modification. Can I get an amen on that? As I've seen Kevin in action doing this very thing with his own children, and granted, he doesn't do it as much anymore. They are grown. But via testimony about incidents and situations long ago, and then also seeing Kevin do it in relationship to today with people coming to him, it has galvanized my faith and commit and made me make a commitment to doing it right with my own kids. This means long conversations. Long. Ask Jen. Sometimes hours of going to battle to get to the heart of it. Drawing it out of them and arriving at a place of reconciliation and understanding is where we want to end up. I know many of the fathers in this building, in our congregation, in our body, do this in much of the same way. And, you know, when you've got the fathers, you have the families. And I'm just proud to say that I'm doing life with you fathers because I see what has been passed down. And it's great to know that, you know, in large part, we're on the same page relative to how we're handling and raising up our kids. So bless you guys. Malachi 4:6 says, "He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the fathers to their parents." I'm sorry. "He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the fathers, hearts of the children to their fathers." Finally, my third inspiration displays consistency and strength. Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." Rick Johnson from Better Dad, Stronger Sons. How many of you guys have seen that book? Better Dad, Stronger Sons? That's a great resource. He writes, "Being consistent is one of the strongest traits a man can bring to fathering. Kids rely on you to be consistent in your responses no matter the circumstances. They rely on you to be dependable, a rock in the face of adversity. When life throws a curveball, they need dad to be there to tell them it's okay. Your emotional stability, especially in stressful situations, provides your kid with the security he or she needs in order to grow into a healthy person." And that is my dad. He's a rock, a very steady and dependable rock. Growing up, I spent a lot of time with him. Runs to the dump when we were redoing our backyard. When you would take the cuttings of the grass and throw them into those bags and then reuse them. Or watching him when he'd be installing stereo speakers on the back patio. That's why I like music on the patio, Erica. Thank you, Bluetooth. So I don't have to wire those things up. Getting up at O Dark 30 to watch live rugby matches between the Springboks and the All Blacks. Watching him braai, which is the word for grill, and that's why I like to grill. Or best of all, caddying for him at Wanderers, our golf club, numerous times. Watching how he addressed the ball, then watch him crush it. Watch him rake the bunker, or show me how to rake the bunker the correct way, hold the flag properly, and pattern my swing after him. He would talk to me, yes, but I think I watched more. In my formative years, I gave him plenty to have headaches over, but he never lost his cool with me. Even the one time I taped over his store-bought Elvis Greatest Hits album cassette. You know, put your hand up if you know what a cassette is. Okay. Ty, I didn't see a hand. Are you a millennial?
I just had to record something. I said, I need a blank. So, oh, this is good. So I think I taped over Hound Dog or something. I don't know. Or the Times. He probably doesn't know I did that. He's probably furious right now. I'm coming clean, pup. Or the Times I expressed doubts about myself, you know. He would reassure me that I had the gifts and talents and a lot to offer. He was consistent through and through, and I felt safe. He was strong. He was my strength. And keep in mind, all this was God's prevenient grace over my life, utilizing my dad to show me what it meant to be a man. He was strong. He was my strength. And the one little thing I'm going to share with you is, I might have shared it before, but, you know, one of our sports in the former colonial Commonwealth countries is cricket. Who's heard of cricket? Okay, it's not croquet. So put your hands down. So cricket is a crazy sport. It would take me probably 3 days to explain the rules. And it's the only game in the world where you can play for 5 days and get a draw. You know? But that was one of my main sports. And my dad was a stellar cricketer back in his career, in his youth. He was invited to like the all-stars of the country as a bowler and pretty decent bat too. But we did this thing at school. We would have a father-son cricket match. And so I'm in seventh grade, kind of around this time. Sam, slide. Next slide. Well. So, okay. That's good. You can take it down. That's cool. That was a Pyrex number 6, by the way. The haircut. So it was around that time that we had our father-son game, our match. And so we're in there, and my headmaster is calling. He's the guy who's standing on the opposite end of the batsman. And he's the one saying if you're out or not and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, my dad was up to bat. And I don't know who bowled. I don't know if I bowled to him or one of my teammates. But my dad was lined up, ready for that thing, and the kid pitched it, and he hit this thing out the park into the school swimming pool. And it probably wasn't a good call, you know, because he's playing against a bunch of seventh graders. <You know? laughs> But man, I stood there. And I just like, oh man, you couldn't have done anything better. It was unbelievable. Like, it was just incredible. And the very next ball, the headmaster gave him out. He's like, you're out. And he wasn't out. It was just, you know, it was a bogus call. Right? It was leg before wicket, but your foot was all the way down that he shouldn't have got you. But he's always been there for me. And Dad, you know, you're my earthly father, and I just appreciate how God you used you to raise me up, to know how to walk it out, to be a man, to see how you love Mom, and to be an inspiration for how I treat Jen. So thank you. So those are my three heroes. But I want to say something too. I have two numbers for you. One is 14:3 and one is 3:14. And Kevin even talked about it earlier. Hosea 14:3. For in you the fatherless find compassion. Some of you today, Father's Day, can be a tough day. Recollections of earthly fatherhood may not fill you with complete joy. May fill you with regret, anxiety, disappointment, even fear. But God is our Father. God is our Father. If we have lived neglected, if we have lived impoverished, He's the one that fills the gap. The devil's aim is to take us back to that.
to take us back to the disappointments, to the stupid decisions, the mistakes, failures. But he is the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Okay? He has filled that gap. And I quote Philippians 3:14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So we are looking forward. Philippians 3:13, forgetting what lies behind, we are pressing on. And so I want to say today that we are not a slave to fear, that we are all children of God. And he fills the gap, and he's the ultimate father. And so, you know, when you look back in fondness, look back and see what your father did, and then know that you have the ultimate father in our Lord. 6 points I'm going to conclude with, and if I can have the worship team come up. And John, if you'll hit that note for me. Number one, I am a dad, even when I don't feel like it. Being a dad is the single most important role I will play. The home is the single most important influence on my family. I have no question about the fact that I can trust, that I can and must improve. Number five, it is hard being a dad. I need to pray more and work harder. Number six, and lastly, the most important thing I can do for my children is to live in passionate faithfulness with their mom. Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm just going to pray. Lord, we just thank you for that word, God. We thank you that you are faithful. We thank you, God, that you fill the gap. We thank you, God, that when we believe you, when we say that you are Lord, God, we enter into a royal sonship, daughtership, a royal priesthood, because you love us, you own us, and we are yours. So you are father to the fatherless, God. Father to the ones who you gave us, our earthly fathers, God. And for that, Lord, we are thankful. But Lord, we come together this morning and just honor you and say thank you, Lord, for your grace in our lives. Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you that we can count ourselves among the children of God, Lord. Help us to have no fear. Help us to realize, God, that you've conquered that for us. Conquered that. We go boldly before you. That we have the God who has angel armies stacked behind us, going to battle in every single thing that we go into. Lord, show us the boldness. Show us the warrior strength. Help us to be fearful of you and not of man. Help us to have integrity. Help us to honor our parents, God, as we honor you.